Thank you. I had hoped to have a slide presentation this morning because I feel like I have quite a bit of scriptures to go through, but my minute technology skills have reared their heads again, and so I do have a slide presentation, but unless you have, like, what, 2010 vision, 25, maybe you won't be able to read them because they're pretty small. So I will not be doing, I will not have slides this morning. This morning's message comes out of our Sunday school lesson that we had several weeks ago. And the scripture that was shared that was in that lesson that got me to thinking about this comes out of 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 to 9. It says, "And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, 'How can the ark of the Lord come to me?'" Now this story comes from when David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and he wasn't following the commands that had been laid out for transporting the ark. It was supposed to be carried by Levites and not on a cart. And no one was supposed to touch this. And this young man reached out and he touched it. But verse 9 says, "David was afraid of the Lord that day." And so when I got to thinking about that, I think Dwight and me actually talked a little bit about it on the way up the stairs. You know, we don't fear the Lord quite like they did back then. In Exodus 20, verse 18 to 21 says, "When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning.' The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was." People back then were scared, physically scared of God. We know that God came and was in the tabernacle and later was in the temple. And to go into the Holy of Holies where God was a fearful thing. To go in there in an unworthy manner was death. In Exodus here, where it talks about, Moses had gone up onto the mountain, and he had told him to put a barrier around the mountain that nobody was to go and touch it. And if someone was to go and touch that mountain, you were not even supposed to touch that person, but you were to stone him or to kill him with arrows. It was that serious. So we know that back then, God was a fearful God. I mean, they were physically scared of him. And God is still the same God that he was back then. We know that in Revelations 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." God is going to judge us one day. And that is a fearful thing. If you go stand before a judge, get a little nervous. Get a little scared whether you're guilty or not. How many people have been pulled over by a cop? You see that blue light. Dwight is shaking his head. I think he knows what it feels like. Even if you're not speeding and you're driving down the road and you see blue lights behind you, first thing you do is you look at your speedometer and you know you're not speeding. And The next thing you see is you may see the cop go around you. But it's still that fear. You know, whether you're guilty or not. And so we know that God is going to judge one day. And that is a fearful thing. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God, He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He is a righteous God, but He is also a just God. And He has given us the choice to make whether we want to follow Him, whether we want to serve Him or not. But we are going to have to live with the choices we make. We're going to, when we die, we are going to give account of our choices that we make. And God is a just God, and He will not allow sin into heaven. So if you have sin in your life, you're not getting into heaven. He's a just God. He's a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we know that God is something that is to be feared. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So now we have the New Testament. And we don't have that tabernacle, we don't have the temple anymore that we go to make an offering to God once a year, make a sacrifice. Now we have God in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, lives in us. Our body is now the temple. So when we go somewhere, when we do something, we take God with us. So when you do something, whatever it is, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you're taking God with you. And you're showing God these ugly parts of your life, or you're showing Him the good parts of your life. Whatever it is, because God is always with us. He is in our hearts. The world's reaction to God. In Romans 3:9-18 says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And then verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God. The world that we live in, the wicked people, they do not fear God. Now we know from these words that it's not fear as in being afraid. I think the world doesn't fear God because they don't know God. But we're not supposed to be afraid of God. When it talks about this type of fear, it's talking about knowing God, being respect. One definition of fear, of not the one to be afraid of, but it says a fear, a feeling of respect and wonder for something very powerful. So when you think of a police officer or a judge, they've got power. And they have power to make your life miserable. They have power to make your life good. And God is much greater than that. But it should be, when it talks about fear of God, it should be a reverence, an awe, a wonder. And it says, you know, the world, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. We see that today. So prevalent. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1, 28 and 29 says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Did not choose to know God. Did not choose to want to know Him. So what is the purpose of knowing God, of fearing God? What can we gain from it? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So with the fear of the Lord, we get knowledge. You know, we send our children to school because we want them to learn. We want them to get knowledge. We want them to learn about how to read and to write. And then they go on. Some of them go on and go to college. And they begin to gain more knowledge. But we can get the fear, we can get knowledge from God about Him as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So because of the fear of the Lord that we have, because of the reverence and the awe and the respect that we have for Him, we get wisdom. We learn about Him, learn what to do, what to say. It's good to have knowledge, but wisdom is even better than knowledge. And then with the fear of the Lord comes protection. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." So when we've got this fear of the Lord in our hearts, we have respect for Him, we have love for Him, and something comes into our life, we know what we need to do. Because of the wisdom that we have and the knowledge that we have, we know that we should depart from evil. That's why the Lord, where it says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, He wasn't going to save them out of their troubles. Proverbs 28 says, "They will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear their Lord." So God's not going to deliver them if they're not going to fear Him. Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." So if we have this fear of the Lord in our hearts, now we're going to depart from evil. We're going to be able to flee evil. But it's more than that. It says it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Because of being able to flee, because of this, it's going to give us better health. Protection. Psalms 33, verses 13 to 22. Said, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him. Because we have trusted in His holy name, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You." God's going to be there and He's going to save us out of our troubles. It said He looks from heaven. God is up there in heaven. He's looking down on us. And He's looking around. It says He sees all the sons of men. He sees the whole world. He sees everything that's going on. And if you stop and think about that, it blows your mind, because how can He see us and how can He see Elvins in Cambodia at the same time? But yet He can. And He's watching over us all. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He knows their hearts. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He considers all their works. So God knows our heart. He knows what our thoughts are, what our works are. And it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. So if we fear Him, He's watching over us. And He's going to keep us safe. On those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. When troubles come our way, He is our help and our shield. And then the next chapter is Psalms 34, verses 4 to 8. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. What a picture that is in your mind. As you're thinking, think of angels all around us because we fear Him. And He's going to deliver us. I don't know what those missionaries feel like in Haiti. Whether they are afraid. But I can see angels encamped all around them. Maybe they can't see it. Maybe their captors can't see it. Maybe one day they will. I pray that they will. We know the story of Elisha, I think, that was surrounded by enemies, and he told his servant to go out and look, and he couldn't see anything, and he told him to go again. And he came back and said, and he opened his eyes, and he told him, look, and there were angels. There was a great multitude surrounding them. That's God. He's encamped all around us who fear Him, and He will deliver us. If we trust in Him, if we fear Him, Psalms 145 says He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. If we're truly fearing Him, the desires that we have are going to line up with His desires, and He's going to want to do those things. He's going to want to save us. He's going to hear our cry. He's going to save us. And then Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So He's going to give us a better life. You know, you think of maybe people who are wealthy, multimillionaires, and you think, wow, that'd be great to have their life that they have. But I'm not so sure it is. If they don't have God in their hearts, if they don't have the fear of the Lord, it doesn't matter what you have. He is the one that leads to life. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Long life, good days. And then again in Proverbs 14:26 and 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. So if we've got this confidence in us because of fearing the Lord, because of knowing that we have God on our side, and then it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. How many people have searched for the fountain of youth? How many people are searching for life today. You know, we hear it all the time about suicides. Young children committing suicide. Young adults committing suicide. They've got nothing to live for. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. He is there for us. My last scripture that I have this morning says, Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. People, if we can follow these two verses, if we follow these two things, these things that the Lord requires of us, there's five of them. To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today for your good. It's for our good that God is there for us. If we go on down to verse 20 of that chapter as well, it says, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. We should fear God. We should think about it when we're out in town, when we're on the internet, wherever we are. God is right there by us. In the Old Testament, there was no grace. The New Testament, we have grace. But I think with that grace, we become lazy. We become complacent with our fear of God. We've allowed things to come into our lives that are neither here nor there, maybe, or maybe they're a little bad, but we don't, you know, it's not as bad as the next person. That God that the Israelites were afraid of to even get close to the mountain, that's the same God we serve today. And we take him for granted. We treat him oftentimes as just another person or just something to be done on Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever it is. Where I read in Hebrews, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. God doesn't want part of us. He doesn't want 99% of us. He wants 100%. He wants all of us. He wants us to follow him with our whole heart. He wants us to fear him. Fear the Lord. When we do this, he's going to protect us. He's going to give us good days. He's going to care for us. I pray this week as you go, you think about the fear of the Lord, that respect, the awe, the power that he has. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for your word that we have. Father, we know that you are a mighty God. You created the earth. You created everything around us. and to your people, the Israelites, you rescued them, you brought them out of Egypt, you saved them from the Egyptians, and you created many miracles and did many wonders and many works to protect them. And Father, we feel like we have become complacent because we don't see those fearful things in our times that we live in. But yet we know that you are the same God today as you were back then. Father, I pray that you would just help us to give you the honor and the respect and the reverence and love and fear that we should today. Father, I pray that you would be with each one of us here today. Father, I pray that you would watch over us today. I pray that you would keep us safe as we go from here. Father, I pray for a good afternoon. And I pray that you'd be with us as we come back together tonight. Father, I pray for a good night tonight again as well. I ask that you would just be with us as we go this week. Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to show your light to the community that we are in, as we come in contact with people. Father, I pray that we would have boldness to speak of you and to show your love to those people around us. Father, I pray for those who are sick today. Father, I pray that you would be with them, watch over them and keep them safe, be with those who could not be here this morning. I pray that you'd be with them, and also again for the missionaries in Haiti. Father, I pray that you would send your angels to camp around them and to deliver them. Father, we know that you are able, and that when the time comes, one way or another, you will deliver them from their captors. Father, I pray for their captors again this morning as well, that you would just help them to see you. Father, I pray that you would just be with them. So I ask that you just go with us today and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen.